In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The readings for today's Mass. From the lesson of Saint, of the prophecy of Daniel. A lesson from the epistle of Saint Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave girl and the other by a free woman. And the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory. For these are the two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children under bondage, which is Hagar. For Sinai is the mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren one that did not bear, break forth and cry that you do not travail, for many are her children of the desolate, more than her of she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, are the children of the promise, as Isaac was. But as he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of a slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has set us free. Please stand for a reading of the Holy Gospel, a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which was that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd, because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up to the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing that very crowd had come to him, said to Philip, When shall we buy bread enough for so many to eat? But he said this to them to try him, for he himself knew what he was about to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each one may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in that place, and the men therefore reclined, in a number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them among those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and were filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who were eaten. When the people therefore had seen the signs which Jesus had worked, they said, This indeed is the prophet who has come into the world. So when Jesus perceived that they would come and take him away by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain himself alone. These are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate this Mass for the repose of the souls of Pete Lucero, of Mary A. Romero, of Maria Lucinda Lopez, of Molly Valadez, of Julia Cisneros, of Bernie Griego, and the deceased of the Campos family. Greetings to all you who are here with us, though afar. This is our first Sunday without having the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass being celebrated with assistance, with you people who are here present who are able to come, because the great sickness which has overtaken our land. The Archbishop has decreed that we should not have anyone here present to be able to celebrate this Mass. And so we appreciate those of you who are still staying with us, even in this difficult time. Especially wish to greet those who are sick and homebound, and our men and women who are imprisoned at this time. It is a difficult thing to deal with what it is that you're going through, but in this way we hope to at least be able to give some encouragement here on this Laetare Sunday. I want to invite each of you, if you would like to in any way be visited by me, to come. Come by way of phone call, to let us know at the office so that I can come visit you if that's what needs to happen, to hear your confession, or if you are at homebound and are truly ill, to be able to bring you Holy Communion and the Eucharist, for that you need that strength to be able to overcome the difficulty you're in. I want to be able to spend time with each of you, and if anybody who desires to have a phone call would let me know, I would love to spend some time and speak with you, to visit with you, even though I might not be able to physically be with you. If you have a confession that needs to be heard and you cannot get out of your house, to be able to come to the hours of confession, which we do have, which are the same, which are in the bulletin, I do urge you to give a call. And I can hear your confession as the Archbishop is granted, either through hearing your confession through the door, or if you would set up a ladder for me to get up to your bedroom window, wherever that may be, we'll still be able to be there for you and to offer those sacraments to you in that way. For those of you who are still desiring to engage in marriage preparation, We still have opportunities to meet. And even if we have to do that through internet means to be able to continue our instructions, that's the way we'll go. We want to make sure that everybody is safe at this time. To those who are in our religious education program, stay with courage. Continue to prepare and to work on your prayers as our young men and young women, our young ones preparing for the sacraments. The Lord is with us, and He is with those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. To you, our precious confirmation students, continue to study on your own. Some of you will still be taking your exams very soon. I'll be praying for you as you prepare for those exams. And as well, I encourage you to continue with your electronic meetings with one another so that you can still continue to grow in this preparation to receive these sacraments, which you will be sealed with in due course. In fact, some of you have sent in questions, and after this Mass is over, I will take some time to record the answers to those questions that you have yourself given so that you can receive them. Maybe even in some way, if your confirmation sponsors seem desirous of it, we'll be able to share them with the whole of the parish. But I leave that to Joanne, your director, for that. To those of you who are able-bodied and still desire a way to be able to serve the Church, I invite you to come and speak with Lucy or to give her a call. There's one very thing that I can think of right now that we need help in doing, and I'd rather not broadcast that now at this moment, but please call Lucy or call me and send us a text message so that we're able to make use of what free time you have set aside to serve Christ and His Church. There's still some things that we need as a parish. And as well, to those of you who are benefactors of our parish, we thank you for the great work that you do for us, and it is because of your work throughout the century plus that we have such a beautiful church that's here. If you desire, just as some have come up to us, Father, how do we continue to contribute during this time? The way in which we'd ask you to do so is if you can physically bring them into the office, you can bring them that way, or you can send them in via mail in that way so that the church is still taken care of. The bills will still continue to go on even though we are unable to have normal services in this way. And if you still desire to be able to provide for your church out of the generosity and the love that you have for God, please do so. We want to be able to be just to all of our employees and to continue them to be able to be compensated even during this difficult time. We know it's difficult, but we trust in God. One final announcement. I know this is a lot for today, but since you're doing so from the comfort of your own homes, we're not worried about time, whatever, right? On Friday, the Holy See, meaning the Vatican, the Pope himself, sent out two letters to us. One being the ways in which we are to go about the celebration of Holy Week. I'll let you know how we'll continue that in the weeks that are to come. But he sent one on how those who desire to receive an indulgence can receive it. He released through the Apostolic Penitentiary an opportunity on Friday for all those who have contracted this virus to be able to receive an indulgence by uniting themselves to prayer with Christ. We'll give you more information on how to receive that, but it's the same conditions as normal. Confession within a reasonable period of time, to pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, obviously, to have that repugnance, that hatred for all sin through that perfect act of contrition that you make within your soul. And also, just by having virtue of having that virus, the Church wishes to extend her plenary indulgence to you to open up wide the treasuries of graces. We'll be sending more of that information out to you. The Archbishop promised me yesterday in a phone call that he'll be giving a response to all these things, I believe, on Monday. Stay tuned for that. Let's begin by listening to what our Lord has for us in this liturgy by way of edification through the homily. Rejoice, O you barren one, that you do not bear. Break forth and cry, you who do not travail. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are words which are given to us from our second reading there, and then within that lesson that we have there. You see, there are only two times within the course of the Church, two times where in the Church's calendar where the priest wears a rose vestment, just like I have here today. The first of these is on the third Sunday of Advent. We call that Sunday also Gaudete Sunday. These vestments are worn during the season of Advent in order to announce what? That the nativity of Christ, the birth of Christ, is very near. This great birthday of our Lord and Savior is drawing close, and so these vestments announce it to say that our Advent time of penances, because Advent is indeed a season of penance, of waiting in penance for the Lord, that's why it's always been known as a little Lent, not the great Lent which we are engaged in now, but a little Lent. This is a time of penance that will soon give way to the joys of Christmas, where we all rejoice at the birth of the Lord. But the other occasion in which the priest dons on the rose vestments is on the fourth Sunday of Lent. We call this also Laetare Sunday. That is today. Today is the other occasion. This color rose is here to inform us of what? Of the saving mysteries of Christ's death. The saving mysteries of his death and resurrection, which are very soon to overtake us in just a few weeks. The Church is calling us at this moment to do what? To be comforted. To be confirmed, to be made strong. Rejoicing in the Lord must be the strength of us. We who need that strength to make it through these difficult days of Lent with Jesus Christ, not apart from him, because he is very near to us, even if we're separated by a great distance at this time. These rose days in Advent and in Lent provide for us an opportunity to rest within the moment so that we can really re-engage with his Catholic joys before we delve into the deeper mysteries which are to come during these great seasons. Because we are Latin Rite Catholics, That's what each of us are. As Latin Rite Catholics, we have such a great grace in having preserved the use of the Latin language within our worship of Almighty God. Latin really is our divine language, a language which we use to contact the divine. We don't use it in everyday life, and it's not really spoken anywhere outside of pretentious university settings. But Latin is a very rich, a majestic, an expressive language. It is incredibly precise with its meaning, and that is great grace that God has given us, to be able to have that language. And so today, we see that our church, the Catholic Church, gives us in the Latin two words for joy. The church, seeing these two words in Latin that they use for joy, saw that Holy Mother Church did to express what we really mean by the joy that we're experiencing now in each of these two different seasons when we wear robes, both in Advent and now here in the season of Lent. Gaudete. Gaudete is that word that we use to express an exterior joy, this outside joy, this joy which is expressed in an outward way. Gaudete is a joy which is proper to the Advent season because we move toward that outward expression of the hidden God making himself outwardly visible to the world in the Nativity. Laetare. Laetare, which we are doing now, is talking about an interior joy, a joy within. God has given us this great gift of an interior life, this sanctifying grace that he's planted within our souls that moves us towards salvation. God has planted this within our souls. And he's given us this gift so that we could be brought to this greatest gift of joy. But the cost of this joy, of this grace which God gives us, the price had to be paid so that we could receive such a great gift. It's been tempering our joy. Tempering our joy with that sorrow. We should have a sorrow when we think about this joy that God has planted within our souls in a hidden way. This sorrow for our sins that we have freely chosen, each of which these sins have done what? Have crucified our loving Savior. Yet today we rejoice not so much on the outside, we rejoice in a hidden way on the inside as we wait for the saving effects to once again be visited upon us. When we began the Mass, you heard the introit that was spoken there, and maybe you read it on your little pamphlets that we sent out to you. It said, what? Rejoice. Rejoice, O Jerusalem. Come together, all you who love her. What does this mean? This means rejoice, Church of God. Rejoice, you who love your Catholic faith. It even has that little phrase in between. It says, I rejoice when I heard them say, let us go unto the house of God. Quoting from the Psalms there. Our church, what she does during the season of Lent, here on Laetare Sunday, interrupts her penance for a moment of joy. Why? Why does she interrupt her penances for joy? This is because the church wants all of her children, that's you and me, to be encouraged so that you and I can be strengthened within this moment. She knows that we are going through this time in a haggard way, beaten up, we're worn out, we're inconstant, we're weak in the things that we've intended to voluntarily engage in with this Lent. The church wants us to be able to persevere in our Lenten works of prayer, of fasting, of almsgiving, in our good works, all the way to the very end of Lent. And so she pauses for a moment so that we could remember we're supposed to do it in a joy-filled way. So we don't give up early, throw in the towel, because we fail in this so often, so weak is our human flesh. This life of penance, this self-denial, is essential for us to achieve salvation. Remember what our Lord's first words were in the gospel regarding his ministry when he was going out to preach. What were the words that he says there recorded in Holy Scriptures? Our Lord said, repent and believe in the gospel. Aren't these not the words that we heard as we received those holy ashes which were traced upon our foreheads as we began this Lenten season of Lent upon Ash Wednesday? Repent and believe in the gospel. As great and as necessary as our penances are for our salvation, and truly they are, penance is not our final goal. No, not by a long shot. Penance is not the purpose of our lives. God did not make us for the purpose of suffering. No, though suffering is integral in the life of the Catholic. God made us for what? You know what he made us for. We say it over and over again, don't we? God made me to do what? To know him, to love him, and to serve him. Where? In this life. So that I can do what? Be happy with him forever in the next life. That is heaven. We know that God made me for what? Yes, heaven. In heaven, what is there? In heaven, there is no suffering. There is no penance in heaven. No, we do that now in this present life as the church militant. We will do it again in our life of suffering as we engage further within that in the church, which is suffering and purgatory. But when we become the church triumphant in heaven, our penances here and now mean what? They mean for us, they are merely a way to make ourselves fit, a means so that we can be strong enough to be with God forever in heaven, so that we can be made worthy of the glory of heaven, which eye has not seen, which ear has not heard, nor has it even dawned upon the thought of man what God has prepared for those who love him like you and me, suffering through this Lent, here gathered on this Laetare Sunday. But why do we use the color rose? Why does the church choose the color rose? Why does the priest wear that color rose this day on Laetare as well as on Gaudete Sunday? In one sense, the church is striving to do what? It's striving to remind you and me that the colors will soon be changing from the violet, that purple, off into the white, to move from this time of Lenten penance to that time of joy that is in Easter. Rose is what? A lighter and more brighter color than that deep dark purple which we wear. Rose is sort of a halfway point between those two colors. Rose is a reminder that the fasting that you and I do during the season of Lent will soon and very soon be transformed into the feasting of Easter and the glory of white that God is revealing. Today is also known by another name, not just Laetare Sunday. We call it Rose Sunday. Why is it Rose Sunday? We call it Rose Sunday is because of the ancient practice of the Roman Church. You see, it was on this Sunday that the Pope in Rome would bless a particular rose. The ancient texts of the Church teach us this. They say that the Pope in Rome, when he was coming to Mass on this fourth Sunday of Lent, would carry a rose in procession at the very, so that he would come to the altar during, at the beginning of this Mass. He would take this rose and offer it to God. This rose would spiritually symbolize what? A spring. This Easter joy that brings newness of life. It's just around the corner for those who persevere. This rose will be offered to them. Bringing that rose, before the rose was brought to the altar, it was what? It was then anointed. It was anointed with the holy oil of chrism. When do we use this oil of chrism? The same oil is used to anoint the child when he comes forth for baptism. The same oil which you who are here, our confirmation students, will be confirmed with and anointed with when the archbishop comes in a short time. The same oil that anoints the very hands of the priest that he may offer the sacrifice, and anoints the head of the bishop that he may have God's divine wisdom just pouring all over him. After this rose was then at that time anointed, the Holy Father, the Pope of Rome, would then take a powdered perfume and he would sprinkle it upon the rose with a pleasing odor, giving it a sweet smell. The sweet smell would symbolize what? The sweet smell of sanctity, of holiness, of salvation for those who persevere just like the saints in heaven, which you and I are called indeed to be. In some cases, that very same rose was then taken and dipped in gold. What is gold? But the precious metal of kings. For those who persevere with Christ through this difficult season of Lent in their earthly life will also reign with Christ, he who is the true King of the universe. Then the rose would be given to one of the faithful there at Mass, calling them out, calling them to follow in this path of perfection. And if they do so, they will make themselves worthy of having received this rose. The Lord offers us each that today. That rose, why, who, rather, does this rose celebrate? Who does it symbolize? Remember that prophecy of Isaiah that we read not just during this time, but during the season of Advent. The prophecy of Isaiah says, from the root of the stump of Jesse, a flower shall blossom. Jesus, our blessed Lord, is the divine flower that bloomed forth from the stump of David, the stump of Jesse, his father. We all know that hymn well within the church. Lo, how a rose e'er so blooming. These are the words of that hymn. Lo, how a rose e'er so blooming, from tender branch hath sprung, from Jesse's lineage, as men of old have sung. It came a flower bright, amidst the cold of winter, when half spent was the night. Our God, as John 3:16 says, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, God gave in the midst of that cold of the winter of sin when mankind was totally lost. We were shipwrecked on that glacial iceberg of original sin, and God sent his only son, this chosen flower. God gave Jesus to us who are his beloved sons and daughters. Our loving father did this for us. He did this for us so that we could be brought about into this new spring of God's creation. The father, what he wanted to do was to take this flower which had to first die and plant in it a new flower bed by the death of his son, his most beloved son, the flower of Christ, and to plant this new garden, to raise up a fresh vineyard that was to be pleasing in his sight, giving a sweet and tasteful vintage made for new wine that you and I are called to be. We know that flowers are given within our culture and within the world on many different occasions, are they not? We give them all the time for various reasons, but a rose is only given for one purpose. What is that one purpose? A rose is given only to one who is beloved, to show love, to one who is an intimate friend, to one who is closer than close can be. The Father, our Father, had only one rose, a long-stemmed rose, a red, blood-red rose. And he crowned this rose with a crown of piercing thorns. And God offered that gift of this rose so that we could know how great his love for us is, we who are disobedient children of disobedient parents in Adam and Eve. I'm reminded also of the great Irish poet, Joseph Plunkett. Joseph Plunkett, he wrote these words, thinking about this very same mystery which we are meditating upon during the Lenten season. He said, I see his blood upon the rose. I see his face in every flower. His crown of thorns is twined with every thorn. His cross I see in every tree. And this rose must die. The Bible says that he must be lifted up high upon the wood of the cross, just as Moses lifted up that snake in the desert to all those who were bitten, that they may be saved. All who look upon him would be saved. Just as the scripture says, a grain of wheat, unless it dies, remains a mere grain of wheat, but if it should die, it produces much fruit, a full harvest. God told Adam, that first man, he said what? He said, go into the garden, this is yours, cultivate it by your own labor. But the new Adam is none other than Jesus Christ. He cultivates a spiritual garden. And his holy Catholic Church, that's his holy Catholic and apostolic church, us. He uses what his own precious blood oozing from his very body down to the last drop as his fertilizer. And the Holy Spirit becomes the water which he so richly waters us like fresh rain. This is what our God gives to each of us. And he will make for us a wonderful flower bed. He will plant within it what the roses of martyrs, they will blossom. The lilies of virgins and confessor saints will spring up pure and white, perfect in their new bodies in the resurrection. The violets of penance, the violets of those holy widows and widowers, of those who do penance and have sorrow for sin today, will grow in vast numbers throughout the church. That's what our Lord is calling us to be as a part of his garden. Brothers and sisters, we only have a few weeks left. A few weeks left in this Lent. We have to resolve then, with what little time we have left, to present what a spiritual bouquet of our lives to God. To arrange the gifts in our lives, our prayer, our fasting, our almsgiving, these good works that we offer out of love for God, in such a way as to be pleasing to Him who gives us such a great gift. Allow this day of Laetare Sunday, of that inward joy, to be a short rest for us, to be a comfort, a strengthening in our time of grieving and sorrow. The greatest sorrow that we experience now is that we do not have the Mass, that we do not have the Eucharist and cannot taste Him because of this time of conflict. But what should it produce within our lives? This sorrow that we're enduring even now should produce within us a great longing for Christ in the joys which He has when we finally are able to receive Him. We need to rest, to cultivate within our lives a fruit that will lead to eternal life that our blessed Lord desires to plant within each of us. The joy that comes from the Lord alone, who is with us, that has to be the thing that leads us on. We who worship Him may be not physically present at this holy sacrifice of the Mass, but He said, just as He spoke to us last Sunday in the woman of the well, though there is a day which is coming when true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, from afar, even with spiritual communions, which He will be making today. Ask God for the grace, for that drive to stay with Him, even though we're apart for this time, so that His grace, the rose that blossoms for eternal life, may flower within our souls, until we come to the full stature of the divine flower, the rose of Judah. Blessed Laetare Sunday, and God love you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.